On the last broadcast, we left off with Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Revelation 2, verse 17. I'll pick it up there. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, as I pointed out, each of the messages to the seven churches ends with this same little thing, this warning, this invitation. You can look at it in a variety of perspectives, but it all comes down the same way. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Churches, plural. Okay, the idea is the message and the evaluation that was being given to these seven churches is something that every church needs to pay attention to and every believer needs to pay attention to. You see, these problems that these various churches exhibit are still with us today. We need to pay attention to these things and look at them the way God looks at them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, verse 17 includes then, after this invitation to listen, to him that overcometh. Now, we talked about that earlier, back in verse 11, the idea of overcoming through Christ. To him that overcometh. Now, wait a minute. There's more to overcoming than just simply being in Christ. There is the idea of resisting the opposition, of overcoming, of putting forth the effort, the will to overcome. The power is available, but you have to have the will to use it. To him that overcometh will I give to eat, I'll give the right to eat of the hidden manna. You say, what's that? Well, I'll be honest with you. As I've said in the past, I don't claim to know everything there is in the Bible. I understand everything, and I'm just going to shove this aside for the time being and say, I don't know what he's talking about when he talks about the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, it was customary back in Bible times that names had meanings to them. Often you will find that the name that a character in the Old Testament especially carried gave some reflection on his character, on what he was. The man called Nabal. Nabal means fool. And when you look at his life and how it ended, certainly he was a fool. And so it went. You will notice here now, I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now this white stone, what is the white stone? It is an ancient symbol of pardon. A man could have been guilty, found guilty, and charged. He's charged with a crime, a fault of some sort in the town, and he's guilty. But for some reason or other, he's pardoned. Now, keep in mind, people had a tendency to take the law in their own hands sometimes. There were issues of tribe and clan. There were issues of eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth and all that kind of thing. And you'll find there was also the avenger of blood, that was a part of the Old Testament law. Now, if a man had been pardoned, the magistrate who pardoned him would give him the right to, or would provide, 9 times out of 10, he was given license to do this, but there was a large white stone placed in the front of the man's dwelling, right out there in the yard or next to the street, where anybody going by would see this white stone. Now, in that stone, in this case, the Lord says, and in the stone a new name written. Now, that was not a part of the custom in Bible times, but this is something the Lord says, I'm going to do. a new name written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. There is a secret and special relationship between the man pardoned and he who provides the pardon. Certainly it is that way with the Christian and the Lord Jesus Christ. Your relationship with the Lord is something that ought to be so intimate. There are things about that relationship, or there should be, we'll put it like that. There are some things that you will find the Lord sharing with you that you really can't discuss with anyone else. You can't explain. It's hard to get a grip on it yourself and be able to talk about it without either choking up or figuring that people are going to look at you like you're a fool. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? You remember Paul talks about a man taken up into the third heaven and hearing things it's not lawful for a man to utter. Well, most Bible expositors would tell you that that indeed was Paul. And what he heard, we cannot even begin to guess. But it was something so wonderful or so terrible, so overwhelming, that he could not talk about it. Was he sworn to silence, or was it something that he just simply was not capable of expressing? Well, I don't know, but the fact was he couldn't talk about it. What the Lord did for you, the more you meditate on it, the more you feed on it, the more you look at the Word of God, the more you understand it, the more you get to the point where it is so overwhelmingly intimate that you really can't talk about it. A new name. Why would he give a new name? Well, a couple reasons. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. A new creation. Yeah. What do you call that thing? Well, I've never seen anything like that before. Yeah, it's new, isn't it? Yeah. You may have been, well, I'll use an illustration. When I went to Romania, on one of the trips I've made over there, I was asked to visit a village called Forest. And in Forest, there lived a man named Nicolae Leș. Nick was the worst alcoholic you can imagine. I don't mean he just laid around drunk. I mean, when he got drunk, he got mean. This man would just beat the dickens out of anybody he felt like it. It didn't make any difference how big he was or how many there were. The man was a fiend. He just went nuts when he got liquor in him. There's a curious thing. Nick got saved. And when he got saved, he also got sober. Now, he had a cousin who was an Orthodox priest. And the Orthodox priest laughed about the whole thing. He said, oh, you become a pokeist. You become a repented one. And he is talking to other people, or other Orthodox people, and he said, it's just a phase he's going through. You know Nick. He'll be back at it. But Nick never returned to the old lifestyle. And his Orthodox cousin got under conviction. This Orthodox cousin began to get into the Word of God to find out what had happened to Nick. And he began to preach. And his superiors came to him and told him he was going to have to quit preaching like one of these repented ones, or they were going to throw him out of the church. There was a change that was so fundamentally outstanding in that man's life that people could not understand it. Well, he did. There was a new Nick that lived in Forest. Nobody had ever seen anything like this before. The same way, my friend, with you. Oh, you may not have been the greatest drunk in the community or in the county, but there was change, wasn't there? Wasn't there? Was there a change in your life or not? Friend, if you claim to be a Christian and there's never been no change in your life, that is, things still going on pretty much where they have, maybe you better take a hard look at your profession of faith. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, let's go on. We come now to the next church. This church, well, let's just simply look at it. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God." Now you'll notice he hasn't used that term in the other three churches, at Ephesus, at Smyrna, or in Pergamos. He's used symbolic language. Here, there can be no mistake about it. "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee." Now let's back up. "These things saith the Son of God." There can be no mistake, and these people down in Thyatira need to understand who's saying this and what he's saying. The Son of God is making this evaluation, "who hath eyes like a flame of fire." Now, when you saw this back in chapter 1, we talked about this, but the idea of fire being a purgative agency, a medium by which dross is separated from the pure, whether it's gold or silver, that which is impure is separated out. The imagery here then is this: "who hath his eyes like a flame of fire." He can see through all the subterfuge. He can see through the whitewash. He sees exactly what is there, no more, no less. "And his feet as fine brass." Making reference to the image or the vision that was recorded there in chapter 1. "I know thy works. I have evaluated them. I know them from the inside out. And I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, the last more than the first." Big on works they were. Yes, sir, boy. They're just doing things and doing things. Notice, please, he doesn't say anything about the quality of their charity. He doesn't say anything about the value of their service. Doesn't talk about the purity of their faith. Doesn't say much about the faith. He said, I know. You're right. "I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest," that is, thou allowest, "that woman Jezebel." Jezebel. Oh, yeah, Ahab's wife, the one who stirred Ahab up, who more than any other individual ever lived, sold himself to do evil. Jezebel. A woman totally corrupt in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Kings. "Because thou sufferest, you put up with, you tolerate that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess." I'm back up. Is this woman, Jezebel, is that her given name, or is that a summation of her character? I don't know. Could be either one. But either way, this is something not to be put up with. Watch. He says, "which calleth herself a prophetess." Now, you suffer, you allow that woman who calls herself a prophetess to teach. Now keep in mind, Paul has already said in several of his letters, and some specifically, that a woman was not to teach, not in this sense, not authoritatively, as an apostle or as a pastor, not in a mixed congregation, "which calleth herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." You allow this, and I've got something against you because of this. Now, we'll talk about this more on the next broadcast, because I'm out of time. Join me then, will you please?